Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 144. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me is Ken Phillips. What's up?
Hey, did you realize that this is a gross of podcast episodes that we have completed at this point?
A gross?
Yes.
What is this term usually used for?
Well, I admit, not normally used for podcast, but I believe eggs are measured in a gross, Kevin.
Ah.
12 by 12.
Ah, yeah, that makes a good amount of sense.
Yep. So if we were eggs, we would have a gross. But I can still say, I would argue, Kevin, it still counts.
Our podcasts are as precious as an egg, Ken.
It is amusing. I mean, I don't know amusing, but...
We birth them, we warm them, we hatch them.
Yes.
They come out to the public.
And I can imagine them all laid out in a 12 by 12 grid in front of me right now. Each one a adorable little egg of its own.
Just taking its time to hatch and be ready for this cruel, cruel world.
Yeah, maybe they could be more like dragon eggs or something, though, Kevin. Just don't want to, you know, make it sound too wimpy there.
They could be like ostrich eggs.
Oh, yeah. I would
go with
that.
Those things are huge.
Yeah, all right.
That was always pretty bizarre when they did the Iron Chef with the ostrich eggs.
Yeah, that's...
Like, when you have to break out power tools to open up an item of food, I always question whether it's worth opening up. And that, because I remember people using drills to get into those things, and it's just like, really? Like, it's as hard as a coconut? That's fucking crazy, man.
I wonder, yeah, how do people know that they need to get a drill? Like, I guess people cook with ostrich eggs, and they just kind of know that, but... It doesn't seem like it would be a general kind of skill that you would need to be prepared for. You
know? Yeah, that seems very specialized, even in the cooking world. I'm guessing that not a lot of people, especially since, like, I forget what the average is, and I'm too lazy to look it up right now, that, like, it's like 6 to 10 eggs.
For those ingredients?
No, for one ostrich egg is like...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's the equivalent of 6 chicken eggs or 10 chicken eggs.
Yeah, it's some crazy amount.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's not very practical unless you're making omelets for a large family all the time to have to bust out the ostrich egg to cook every morning.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm not sure if ostriches lay as many eggs as chickens do. I guess that's, you know, this wasn't a planned topic, folks. You shouldn't hold us to the higher, you know, our normal high levels here of research.
Yes, of reading one article and then talking about it.
I'm not, you know, we didn't have time to look into how many eggs an ostrich lays before we started recording, but... I'm just thinking it's not as many. Maybe that's crazy just because I guess they are bigger, but the birds are bigger too, so maybe it's all evens out. But
oh, right.
I don't know. It just seems like an ostrich would take more resources maybe to mature, to be fed and all that stuff. So like it doesn't make as much sense to have so many ostrich eggs, you know, so many eggs in general if you're an ostrich.
Yeah, I never really thought about when they had that on there what the how many ostrich eggs were normally created by an ostrich, and whether I know that now there's definitely a shark fin soup problem, but I remember the beloved Ken Kenichi.
Yes.
Making shark fin soup on quite the regular basis.
Yeah, I guess not cool anymore. A lot of sharks getting killed. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ostrich eggs? I don't even know where you would go about getting something like that. Oh, apparently they're $35 to $50 a piece.
Oh, wow.
Wait, a single ostrich egg is the equivalent of 2 dozen chicken eggs?
Oh, 2 dozen. I was way low.
And an ostrich can lay 40 to 60 eggs a year. So I would say a lot less than a chicken, but still, that's more than I would have thought at most. 40 to 60 a year, that's quite a few.
Yeah, that is still quite a few, but who sells that? I mean, how many? Wow.
$35, would you, I mean, if you knew of that, would you ever be tempted to buy an ostrich egg just to kind of try out?
Oh, yeah. Like,
if you could go to, like, the North Market and pick up an ostrich egg.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried all kinds of weird things, so I definitely, the other thing that I've at least learned from those episodes is that it does not seem like it's much different than any other egg. You know, I know I've seen the little tiny quail eggs, and I've used the quail eggs. They don't really taste markedly different from a chicken egg, honestly.
Yeah.
So, like, it seems like eggs kind of have a similar taste, at least in the bird family.
Right. Well, that's where you get I would say, a prime candidate for getting eggs is from those birds. not a lot of people, I think, eat lizard eggs, would you say?
Yeah, it does not seem as popular. Or bird eggs.
Well, no.
We already said bird.
Yes.
I guess lizard eggs, snake eggs? Yeah, snakes.
Snakes?
A lot of reptiles, I guess.
Wait, platypus? Do they lay eggs? No. Are they marsupials?
Yeah, they are marsupials.
All right. Well, this is fascinating stuff.
Yeah, there was some topic, or there was some part of this that I felt like I could rein us back into talking about what has become a staple on the show here.
I guess maybe speaking of laying an egg, Kevin, would that be?
Yeah, I'm not sure that what you what has happened to our beloved Pittsburgh Steelers is exactly would be called laying an egg. I mean, they haven't been blanked. But when your one win is over the Bengals 5 games deep into the season,
it's not laying an egg. Whatever the opposite of that would be, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's pretty bonkers the third string quarterback is playing at this current moment. Like, that is something, and he isn't even really the third string quarterback because they traded their third string quarterback after week 1 to Jacksonville. So really he's the number 4 quarterback.
Well, yeah, he was picked up, I believe, 2 weeks before he started playing, like for the practice squad, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And
they had him in training camp and he got cut, but they seemed to really like him.
And
in between then and when they signed him back to the practice squad after they traded Dobbs, evidently he didn't get a job in the meantime, but the Steelers thought enough of him to bring him back in.
Yeah, and I have to say, he seemed pretty good, actually, considering everything.
He was not the problem. When you go 7 of 9 for 179 yards, I didn't pull up the stats, but he was throwing it downfield. It was accurate. It was hard. It really made me think that Mason Rudolph was kind of holding himself back. Like, I felt like the offensive coordinator a couple of times had kind of said, hey, this isn't my fault, this is his fault, about airing it out. And after seeing Devlin Hodges airing that ball out after he came in, Yeah, I think it's a, I think it was a quarterback issue. At least part of it.
That's a good point, Kevin. And I hadn't been familiar with that quote, but that does make sense considering it was a little bit of a head scratcher as to why they weren't airing the ball out more. I feel like I was reading a couple of the Pittsburgh sports writers mentioning that they felt like Tomlin was, or the coaching staff in general, I guess, was playing within their fears and not like trying to, you know, be aggressive, getting off to these slow starts in games. But could be the quarterback play.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think I've found it pretty interesting watching other games, honestly. I feel like they kind of follow the same pattern that the Steelers game does here recently, is it seems like the defenses can bottle up teams for about a half, and then the second half comes rolling along, and the offenses make a little bit of an adjustment, and they start romping on people. I don't know if it is just it definitely seems like the defense gets more tired more easily with you know, having to be on the field longer, because and that's kind of been the other thing that's been crazy, is the Steelers are like in the top five in both sacks and interceptions, yet somehow and they're like plus five turnover ratio, which would normally indicate a winning team.
Yes,
and they're 1-4. Like the defense, it hasn't been lights out, but it definitely seems to be either getting better or at least is definitely good enough to get them somewhere.
Yeah, it's pretty typical, I'd say, for defenses to get tired out, and more than offenses, because they're always having to, by nature, react to what the offense is doing, and the offense can almost try to ignore what the defense is doing in some ways and try to just kind of run their intended play. But the defense is always having to react and just kind of like resist all the time is more tiring, I would say. So it's that's one thing, but yeah, you would hope that. I mean, certainly, I think as the season's progressed, their offense has gotten better. But it does seem to take a little while, like you said, in each game still to kind of get things moving.
And then that's kind of, I don't think it really hurt them against the Bengals, but it definitely hurt them for sure against, who'd they just lose to? Baltimore.
Mm.
They had two turnovers early in that game and they only got 3 points out of the situation.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
You know, even if they get six, it's a whole different ball game there.
Oh yeah, for sure. They wouldn't have gone to overtime for one.
Yeah. Ravens.
If everything else had played out the same.
Yeah.
Even with that really troubling interception there at the end of the game. I mean, how many times has that happened? Like, not just with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, you mean the fumble at the end of the game?
Yeah, what did I say?
Interception.
Oh, well, all right, yeah.
That's why I'm like, I don't remember Hodges throwing an interception. Like, maybe I'm off.
No, I was off on that one. Yes, the fumble at the end of the game.
Yeah, definitely the last 2 weeks, the main players that you want to have the ball in their hands, honestly, have, you know, I think there are other things that have led to these losses, but those are definitely big point at moments, with James Conner fumbling in San Francisco when they were definitely driving.
Yes.
I don't think that they were guaranteed points, but I mean, it definitely looked like they could have scored and won that game with plenty of time. And then that cost them. And then,
I believe last year in the playoffs, maybe.
I honestly can't believe how much play that I've seen That this Mike Tomlin choosing to defer in the second half. Like,
That was in the overtime he deferred.
Yeah, in the overtime. I'm sorry.
That's like, I have never heard of that before. And I believe it may have been done once before at some point. I remember seeing some stat on that, but that is not the normal thing to do, Kevin.
No, but the funny thing is that it worked out exactly like they wanted it to.
It would have worked perfectly if not for that.
If not for the fumble.
Yeah.
That's why I was just like, huh? Like, it worked out perfectly. The Ravens really didn't drive the ball much after the first couple of touchdowns early in the first half.
Yeah. And additional weight to that, the return, kickoff return had not been good at all, I would say. They've ended up getting stuffed down near the 10-yard line, I feel like, for a lot of their, a lot of the times that they were receiving kickoffs.
Yeah, their first two possessions started at the, I think it was the 10 and the 13. I'm not sure if that's the correct order that it happened in, or maybe it was the 11 and the 13. Like, mm-hmm. It was not good starting field position. So that was one of those things I'm like, oh, yeah, if you pin them back, which they did, they got good field position to push for a field goal.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they were, I would say, and within field goal range when he fumbled that, which is unfortunate. But, I don't know.
Well, that's one where, in some way, more less than Connors, like, I really feel like the Baltimore player did a good job of punching that out.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing more that Juju could have done is to cover it up with two hands.
Yeah, I think you could have liked to seen him wrap it up, you know, cover up the ball as much as possible with both arms. I guess just in general you would like to see that, but especially given the circumstance there at the end of the game, driving to win.
Well, and like you said, I guess I hadn't really thought about that part, that they were probably already in field goal range, because mm-hmm. Chris Boswell seems to have had something of a bounce back year so far this year, in being a reliable kicker.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's missed. He didn't miss any of that game.
He has not missed yet. I feel like there have been a couple of the longer ones I feel a little sketchy on.
Right.
And
but
maybe,
he has hit some long ones, though. Like
I believe 50, he right? has a couple of 40-plussers, which to me is where things start to get dicey. I feel like he had a 43 and a 48 this past week. And I feel like the 48, I was like, oh my gosh, and then it still went in anyway. It's one of those things where the yardage definitely did not matter as much as the ball security.
Yes.
In that situation. So trying to stiff arm the guy again, which he had kind of done earlier in the game. Probably not, should not have been the top priority in that situation.
No, that's usually not a good move for a kicker in general. Be stiff arming somebody.
Oh, I meant Juju.
Oh, Juju? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Sometimes it works out, but.
I guess, we were kind of talking about situational awareness. If you're in that end of the field, you know, already ready for a field goal, I guess is what my point was, is that if you're that close to a field goal, maybe stiff arm is not something to worry about. If you're trying to get out of your end of the your end of the field and kind of need some yards, I guess I can understand trying to pull something off like that.
Yeah, he wasn't like, I think he had already had first down at that point too. Like, it wasn't like,
oh,
they were,
yeah, they were fighting for a new set of downs. Like, yeah. It wasn't fourth and something and they didn't have the yardage. Yeah. That is, and I guess that's one of those things that it's almost more of a situational awareness, and maybe that's something that he should have learned after New Orleans last year. Although, again, there were definitely that was something that the referees were just trash during that game.
Yeah, they were bad.
Both ways. Like, I feel like Baltimore got robbed on a couple of calls. I still was a little bit surprised that that Devin Bush interception didn't get overturned. But I don't know if you missed that during your third quarter fast forward.
I did see that. It seemed like it was close enough that it would be hard to overturn based on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like that was one that just the call stood. I don't feel like it was confirmed.
Yeah. By the way, Chris Boswell this year, 10 for 10, and including 4 for 4 on over 40 yards. So that's having a pretty good year there.
Yeah, it took a while to find some kicker stats there for you.
Yeah. Finally,
I don't came know through. Why you didn't have him on your fantasy team. You just could have.
Oh, yeah. I would need to have a fantasy team first for that to happen, I guess. So there's a couple things going against me there.
Oh, well, yeah, there are a lot of things going against the Steelers, but the good news still continues to be that their division is a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
As was proof of the Browns getting trounced by the 49ers.
You watched that game, Kevin?
No, I did not watch that game at all. I just saw the score at some point. I'm like, oh my God, at least the Steelers. The Steelers really, again, they should have won at San Francisco.
Yeah. I did watch that game. My father-in-law was down in town, and he's a Browns fan. And I was actually kind of rooting for the Browns a little bit. I mean, even though it didn't make sense necessarily from a strategic point of view, it's, you know, being around Browns fans, I guess I kind of my judgment clouded over for that game, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, that sometimes happens to me with Penn State.
But yeah.
Except when they're playing Ohio State, then I really, really root for Ohio State.
Well, this is an interesting part because...
So I can understand where you're coming from with kind of pulling for the Browns.
There was a former Ohio State player on the 49ers defense who was having a pretty good night there.
Yeah, Nick Bosa.
Bosa, exactly. And I don't know if you remember this, Kevin. I don't think I was aware of it at the time, but Baker Mayfield did play against the Buckeyes in Columbus and beat them. After that game, he took the flag for, was it Oklahoma University, OU?
Yes.
Waved it around and then tried to plant it at the 50-yard line of Ohio Stadium. Nick Bosa, after having sacked Mayfield, did a celebration that I thought was pretty classic by pretending to wave a flag around and then spike it in the ground.
I heard about that. I did not see it.
I saw it, and then I had to go on YouTube and watch the original. And there was a bunch of people making comments about how they were here because of watching the game on Monday Night Football. So that was a fun little internet moment there.
Yeah.
And a good memory there for Nick Bosa. Apparently, did not let that one slide exactly.
No, I can understand being a little salty about that loss.
Yeah, and that is a little bit, you know, you could go in the locker room and celebrate when you're at your opponent's, field. It's a little bit disrespectful to try to plant your flag in the middle of their field.
Oh. But I guess I like that. It is funny that I feel like I heard that attitude from one Mr. Mayfield is pissing some people off, which, you know, kind of makes me like him more. It's just kind of like, it's just like, you know, I always feel like that's one of those, oh, we want you to be cocky, and then someone's cocky, and it's just like, oh no, fuck you. It's just like, huh? Like, weren't you just saying the opposite thing? Didn't you say you wanted the players to have more personality? Like, the guy has a personality and then it's bad? Like, I always shake my head at that.
I guess, you know, there's old fuddy-duddy notions of sportsmanship, Kevin. You know, you shake your opponent's hand after the game.
Well, and most people still do shake hands more times than not, honestly.
Right, right, exactly. So I feel like that's kind of maybe where some people are coming from there. It's not necessarily showing good sportsmanship, but, you know, I can see it is almost a wrestling heel kind of move. I can see how you would be, you know.
Appreciative,
yes,
of these actions.
Exactly.
yeah, you want to see a little something going on there. You always love a little extra anger involved in these matchups.
Wasn't it Terrell Owens who put, when they were playing against the Cowboys, like, scored a touchdown and ran out in the middle of the field and put the ball down on the star?
On the star. Yeah, and then someone came up and pushed him over from Dallas. I forget who it was.
Right. Yeah, someone ran up and knocked him over. Because I think he did it twice, actually. So that's maybe one more than. Maybe they were willing to let it go once. But they couldn't have that kind of sacrilege being performed twice.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was in-game, though. It's not like Mayfield did that during the game. You know what I mean? Like, if Oklahoma scored a touchdown and he grabbed the flag from, like, the Oklahoma flag guys just happens to be in that corner, and he waves it around and plants it in the end zone. Now, that would be, like, that's above and beyond dick level.
Would that go too far for even you, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah, that one's crossing a line. If you do it after the game, as he did, like, A, I'm still cool with the recall on Nick Bosa's part. But I'm also cool with, you know, him doing that because his team did win in Ohio Stadium. Like, they went on the road and won. So, I mean,
yeah,
got to give it to him for that.
I was surprised, like, listening to the recording, there were a decent amount of people who were cheering that. So they must have had a decent, or probably also everyone else had left at that point. I'm guessing.
Yeah, so, I'm going to guess the Ohio State fans did not stick around for that one.
That would explain the lack of boos when he, you know, planted the flag, so to speak. Although, as far as I can tell, the actual playing surface is concrete. So it was a futile attempt, Kevin, to plant the flag in Ohio Stadium.
Oh, I thought that they had that, like, kind of like the field turf, like the paint. Oh, there's some type of rubber layer usually on the field turfs.
Oh, sure.
I thought that they had real grass for some reason, though.
You think so? Well, maybe I'm wrong.
I thought so, but
he was not effective. whatever the case was, yeah, it did not, like, stick up and down. Now, maybe to his defense, I don't think they're, like, spiked on the end or anything.
Yeah, it's probably just a flat bottom.
So you wouldn't necessarily, the flag is not meant for that purpose.
No.
It's part of the problem.
I agree.
So I'm going to, you know, it probably was a still effective, an exciting moment there, Kevin, for the OU fans who stuck around to watch it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure your father-in-law, I don't know if he really roots for Ohio State, but I'm sure he was maybe not entirely amused when this happened.
It was funny to see because there were some comments from earlier, like a couple of years ago, like after Mayfield was drafted by the Browns.
Uh-huh.
And people were kind of basically saying how they were mad about the time, if they're going to forget about it now because he's playing for the Browns. So just a little bit of mental gymnastics, I guess. that people are seemingly very adept at doing. And that's how you can go from hating a guy one day to liking him, I guess.
Yeah, it just takes a change in sports colors.
A change in uniform, yes.
Yeah, because there are certainly some people. I'm trying to think of some famous Steelers from teams that I would. Well, I mean, there are a couple of famous Penn State Steelers.
I guess we could look at Antonio Brown. I'm sure there's a lot of Patriots fans who were not particularly fans of his before he got signed, and then maybe became not particular fans of him afterwards. So,
yeah, I'm not sure I would have brought him up, but you know, if you want to go there, have at it.
Sure, man. I mean, it's the elephant in the room, Kevin. I don't know. I did see that he had to get paid by the Patriots now. Still, I don't know. Maybe he was just.
I saw some headlines, and I just I don't care.
He's dead to you.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have time for those shenanigans, Phillips. There's all kinds of other shenanigans that I pay attention to.
Well. Speaking of, I think
one of those shenanigans, Ken, happens to be the Masked Singer.
Oh yeah,
I allow the wife to watch it without me, but I will admit that we do watch it together quite frequently. The first guy that got booted off. So if you have it on your DVR right now, is. All for your spoiler alert, because I think they're on week 4 this week.
If you wish to remain spoiler free for the first episode of season 2 of The Masked Singer.
And honestly, it's been a month if you haven't seen this episode, so.
At least.
Really, you should have.
Yeah, who knows when this is coming out?
Hopefully Friday morning or Thursday night. You know, if you haven't seen the show, all manner of celebrity show up in very elaborate costumes so that you cannot see their identity.
Yes, they're masked, in effect.
Yes, they are masked, and they come out and do karaoke. Well, it's karaoke.
That's fair.
With a performance. Like, I don't feel like most karaoke participants have a full like dance team behind them to do a number. I do feel like there are some karaokeers that really kind of get into their performance.
Sure, but you're right. But I don't.
It's
think
more of a solo effort. I've never maybe a tag team.
Traditionally, I've never seen backup dancers involved in elaborate sets. For the karaoke nights that I've been to, but
no pyro,
no pyro. But yeah, they do certainly have elaborate sets and backup dancers and some pyro sometimes on the Masked Dancer or Masked Singer, excuse me.
Yeah. So I am quite familiar with this, and you posted an article that I honestly wanted to stop reading after reading the sub headline. Ninja was on the Masked Singer, and a dancing ice cream is our god now. And that's not really the part of the headline that if I had not seen the show, I would have been completely confused by this headline. I'm going to throw that out there.
Had you heard of Ninja before this?
No, they had to explain to me and, well, honestly, most of the audience, because his audience is not the audience that is watching The Masked Singer, that he is a video game player, and that is his job. Mm-hmm. And that's what got me next. The subheadline: when you make $10 million a year playing video games, what have you got to lose? ? My jaw kind of dropped.
You didn't realize that there Could be someone making $10 million a year playing video games.
I had no idea when I was a child trying to perfect Super Mario 3 that had I just stayed the course and continued to play video games, I would be making far, far more money than I am at my current job.
That's an interesting way to look at it. We kind of missed out a little bit, I think, because of when we were coming up, Kevin. Unfortunately, they were not paying people any money to play video games.
No, in fact, I had to pay money to play games.
Yeah.
Lots of money.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I have many a quarter spent in the arcade. Many a Nintendo game, Atari game, Commodore 64 game.
Yeah.
Purchased.
No, it's true. We're old enough to remember when you had to pay money to play video games.
Yeah.
It's things have turned around a little bit.
Yeah, the fact that some fool can make $10 million a year. And it would seem to me that he just plays... Most of these guys seem to play just one game. It seems like his game is Fortnite, which is quite popular. I know my nephews play Fortnite.
Yeah.
The next time I see them, I am going to ask if they are aware of who Ninja is.
I'm going to think that they do.
I am assuming that they do. But I guess I'm going to verify this fact with them.
No, because somehow my daughter, who really doesn't play Fortnite, knows who Ninja is. And I feel like this is how I'm kind of maybe a little bit more in tune with some of what the young folks are doing these days. Just
by having offspring.
By dint of having a young child, yes. A middle schooler at this point. But yeah, she... we played Fortnite a couple times. I was just kind of curious more than anything. And it is, there's a lot going on, shall I say.
We watched Ninja play.
Oh yeah. We did do more research for this topic.
Yes.
Above and beyond.
We did go above and beyond the Call of Duty with this yes. one. And not Call of Duty the game,
no,
people.
This we're talking about Fortnite. try to stay with us.
So yeah, we watched him playing for a solid 20 minutes or so, and I was just completely confused as to what was going on.
Yeah.
And then as you explained it to me, I could see it happening more in front of my eyes. But I guess I still wasn't completely understanding what was going on, because, like, I almost didn't, and maybe it's just because the old school remotes clacked so much. Like, I feel like the remote pad sounds so quiet now, I could almost not tell what he was doing, or that he was doing anything at all.
He might have been using a mouse and keyboard, actually.
Oh, okay.
I think they might have been playing on their... PCs, but yeah, it's Fortnite is a game of strategy. You start out getting dropped off an airplane. Probably some people are already familiar with this, but you can kind of choose where you want to land, like towards the center of the map or further away where there's gonna be maybe less people. But then you've got to like end up moving towards the center, and probably people there are gonna kind of have their forts built up, you know, defensively pretty well. Or at least that's, you know, one possible outcome. So there's kind of different strategy, I guess, you can try even from the beginning there. And then you're kind of like gathering resources. You're also having to like mine resources from like, you know, trees or stones to be able to build structures later. In building the structures itself, you know, Kevin, we were watching him like just zip through and like build these like towers going up into the sky.
He certainly he almost used his materials more as a mode of transportation. Mm-hmm. Like it seemed like in my very, very novice experience. and used it mainly to protect himself when he got into a gunfight. Like, he really did not bother trying to build an architectural masterpiece of a fort.
Yeah, this wasn't like something you admire later. It's really utilitarian stuff for the most part, but
yeah.
Yeah, when I was playing the game, I mean, it didn't help that I didn't know like what keys did what on the keyboard, but like there's different shortcuts you can use to build like you know, different walls or ramps, floors or doors, I guess, potentially, or the different materials you can build from, like, you know, wood would be faster to build, but also weaker. You can build things out of stone, it'll take longer, and like those resources aren't as easy to come by, but it'll be harder for it to be destroyed. And, you know, there's a lot of strategy that, or even tactical stuff, like with them talking to each other and like kind of concentrating their fire in certain areas to try to get at the guys who are hiding inside their own structures. But yeah, the video we watched was them winning 40, him and his teammate winning 43 games in a row, which was a world record at that point. So they were, you know, he was, I would say he's got a fairly big personality. So I guess I can see why he might be popular.
Well,
and he seems very skilled as well. So that's always helped, you know.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Like, I feel like when we've, and I don't feel like we've seen too many gamers. Well, we've seen some gamers in and of the fact where they're, what was his name? That recently got disqualified.
Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell.
Yeah. From the King of Kong documentary.
Yeah, but I feel like those type of gamers that we've looked at, to me, they're a little more engaging. Like, I feel like they do more talking. Like, maybe it's just because you've got to work in tandem in Fortnite, that I didn't feel like it was more just like communication about what to do and what each person was mining. And kind of they were just mapping out the area that they were both in.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much like, I feel like some of those other gamers maybe talk a little bit of trash or something. Like, to me, they were a little more engaging than I was going to call him Pizza.
Pizza?
Ninja.
Ninja. Or sure. You can call him Ninja for short, apparently.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was killing me watching the video. His ninja is too long of a word to say, so it had to be abbreviated to ninja. I mean, it does save a vowel.
It's true. And you can cut, well, you're cutting the syllables in half, Kevin. So
you are cutting the syllables in half.
That's going to be a huge time saver, you know, over enough of a you know, period of time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it doesn't quite seem necessary, especially since they're really only talking to each other. So you can assume that he's talking to you without actually him saying your name, since there's only one person he could be talking to.
Yeah, it seems a little bit redundant,
mm-hmm.
Let's say.
Yeah, I think he was maybe even using that for comic effect, so that's possible. It is a funny nickname.
Yes, it is. Now, this article on CNET.com, it was kind of interesting because I felt like what we all just talked about had very little to do with this article.
Oh, sure.
Like, I even feel like Ninja had very little to do with this article.
Well, yeah, Ninja was part of the, kind of the melange that made up this article.
He is much the writer of the article, and I'm trying to see who. Oh, Claire Riley. Much like us, a little shocked that you can make $10 million a year playing video games. Which I think anyone that has a job, obviously that's a job, but I'm still not calling it a job. There's got to be a line somewhere, motherfuckers, and I'm drawing a line in the sand.
I don't know.
Obviously, he works hard to be that good.
For sure.
That takes time, but I also, you know, could sit up all night and play video games and get good at them eventually.
Well, maybe. But I don't know if you could get as good as him. It just seems like he really is. I mean, we've covered, I guess, some other recently. Paul McBeth, the professional disc golf player.
Oh, yeah.
People who are kind of at the top of their, you know, chosen fields of competition, sports, what have you. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a difference. Yeah. He does work. And, but it's still different than a 9-to-5 job, in my opinion.
Well, sure, but maybe some people would think about, you know, our kind of jobs, Kevin, you know, people who are out there doing physical labor and say that we're not really working either.
Well, that is fair enough.
So I don't know where you draw the line. It seems it depends on what side of the line you're on as to where you draw the line. But then that doesn't make sense because you have to draw the line first to know what side of the line you're on. I don't know. I'm not sure how you can tell what side of where the line is, Kevin, but...
Or which side it is.
Or which side you're on. Yeah.
Maybe I've switched sides, Ken. Just, you talked me into it. I don't do enough physical labor.
Yeah, we don't have jobs either, it turns out. So, we're all on the wrong side of the line.
To get back to things, the article itself is really kind of... They talked about Back to the Future 2. Which we are past Back to the Future 2 date, are we not?
Oh, for sure. I remember when that happened.
Wasn't that because that was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it was 2015.
Okay.
Because it was 1955, 1985, and 2015 to keep it on the fives there.
Yeah. So we are well past that, and obviously we do not have some of the things that were on there, but we have other crazy devices like this microphone that's sitting in front of us that records our voices and then we throw it on the internet for literally anyone in the world to listen to.
Yeah, that was not part of the Back to the Future Part 2. Although, maybe it could have been, actually. It was probably more disrupting than rehydrating pizzas at home, which was a major part of... the future scene.
Yeah. I'm still good with this not happening.
You don't need to rehydrate pizzas?
I like food.
That's true.
I don't want it to like turn into some weird capsule like the Jetsons. Like I don't just want to pop it in like a vitamin and then just be full. Like that's just weird to me.
People thought that was what we wanted, but no.
Yeah, I do not agree with that stance.
No, it's
I do not want to drink Tang all the time up in space. I'm good with eating a regular meal right down here on Earth.
Yeah, that would not be very efficient if you had to, you know, every time you were hungry, you had to go up into space and eat Tang. I mean, that's just ridiculous, and I will argue against anyone who would do that.
If I was up in the International Space Station, do you think DoorDash would deliver?
No, I don't think so. They would have to have some kind of new service up there. Give Elon Musk a little bit of time.
Nudge.
Yeah, he'll get around to that eventually. Some type of, I don't know what you would call that up there. Couldn't be a DoorDash. I don't know if they have doors.
Well, how do you get into the International Space Station if not for a door?
Airlock Dash, maybe?
Airlock Dash.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really work as well since there's no alliteration there, like door dash. I don't know, Kevin. We're going to have to workshop this a little bit more.
Yeah, also not a planned topic trying to figure out. I was trying to think of the smart ass, Planet Express.
Oh,
our version of Planet Express.
Yeah, well, that was used in Futurama, unfortunately.
Yeah, that cannot be retaken or reclaimed.
Orbit Express, maybe, since it's just going into orbit. You know, the first kind of generation.
Yeah, it is a little shorter in the rotational field. So,
boom, done. We can cross that off the list.
Workshop over.
That was a little bonus segment.
But yeah, I almost felt like this person was in this article is just kind of complaining about the state of TV, even though they were complaining about the state of reality TV.
Or just reality in general, I would almost argue.
Yeah.
Which I can get behind this as a topic because we do live in a weird reality, Kevin. I mean, there's really no, I don't know. It's hard to argue.
It is not something that the world has done at this point. Like, it is pretty bizarre how many opinions you can see out there, and how many people you can communicate with. A lot of people do all still seem to gravitate towards the negative despite trying to preach the positive.
Yeah.
I certainly do my best to stay above it, but there are certainly some negative things that, you know, they get in your orbit and you just can't quite get away from them.
Yeah, I mean...
And bad shit just in general does happen. You know, I have certainly not been shy about ye old divorce topic on this year podcast, whether it's the OPA version or the regular SGAs. You know, even when you plan things well and you think things are going well, things can go sideways in a hurry. Yeah, so there's...
But I don't think it's all necessarily bad, though, Kevin. I mean, this person was having a bit of a reaction to the kind of absurdity of it all. And I just think it's a strange world for sure. But
yeah,
you can kind of see like I was reminded of like I don't know if you remember this, Kevin, hanging out down at my parents' cabin one summer. My friend Dave from college was there, and we were watching some Japanese TV shows that he had recorded.
Since he had lived in Japan teaching English, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
I still have that infamous email from him from his time over there.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was recounting kind of
the life Thailand in Japan. Email.
Oh, I don't even know if I remember that one.
You do not remember Thailand equals hookers?
No.
I will have to pull that one out. Like, I have a printout of that story. Like, that's one of those ones that, yeah, to me, that's an all-time classic.
I remember he did put out a book of his emails, self-published at one point. And I know I have that at home. But yeah, he was a interesting writer there. And I do remember enjoying those emails too. I just don't quite remember everything about that one. And I feel like I don't have that email account anymore, so that's kind of a bummer.
Oh, yeah. That's still something of a crazy thing for me. I've had that Hotmail account for almost half of my life at this point.
Yeah, that sounds right. Since you moved out here.
If I've had, and I'm pretty sure I've had my Hotmail account at least as long as I've been here. So it's been 20 years. So it's not quite half of my life, but I've had an email, and it's... Things have only gotten more connected since that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I still remember the, you know, and unfortunately it's one of those unfortunate circumstances, but I remember coming down to Columbus here from Kent and looking for places, and Columbine had just happened. But it was still something that, you know, I wasn't checking my phone for alerts quite at that junction. I was still reading it in the newspaper first. Because it still kind of took a little while to get the websites, but things have just things have gotten faster and more connected in the meantime, and it's definitely led to some crazy absurdity that's going on. Like,
I feel like you could
like video game players making $10 million a year.
I feel like maybe you can trace it back to right around 2006, and I forget, I was reading a different article, but they kind of mentioned that basically since 2006. Like the introduction of the iPhone, like things have kind of, and the other smartphones, the things that followed, iPads, like the pace of change has really gone cuckoo bananas since then. And that might not be like the weirdest point to put it at, because I don't know. I didn't have, like, I know when I moved out here, I didn't even have a cell phone for several years, I would say.
Yeah, I did not get mine until after the first marriage. Because she was she was working at the bowling alley when we got them.
I remember you held out for a very long time, though. Even in my estimation, as someone who didn't, you know, was not an early adopter.
Yeah, I might have gotten that from my parents, holding out until the technology is really there.
Yeah.
But I still do have my phone number that that I originally have when I moved down here. I've never had a, I've only had one number since moving here.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, and it is pretty bizarre that because we live in between cell towers, we have now had to get a landline. Like, we are the furthest point from cell towers, so we never get picked up.
I guess that's a downside on having a park in your backyard.
It's, a to me, a very minor downside.
Yeah. You know, there's a, I guess, a dark middle to any silver lining or whatever, something along those lines. But it's really, especially since you're able to kind of get around it. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you, are you able to, like, use Wi-Fi dialing on your phones at all? Because that could be sometimes helpful.
Well, we just need to be outside.
Okay.
Helps.
Gotcha.
But the weather is not always cooperative. Sometimes we're in the basement. Sometimes, you know, we're not. Sometimes you don't want to just be outside. Sometimes it's too hot.
Right. Yeah. That's a fine reason for not being outside.
Yeah. There are a lot of problems in that department.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There are. And plus, sometimes even then, I think our calls dropped a little bit because we are the furthest away from cell towers that you can get.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? I guess I could try the Wi-Fi dialing, but it was only like an extra $10 a month to get the landline. Like, it wasn't exactly like I am splurging here.
It's probably not a bad idea to have a landline just in case, too. Because I think those, is it like it, or is it like a voice? Did you get like a voice over IP or a traditional landline?
Yeah, it's through the router.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's the only thing that bothered me is that I bought a router last year, and now I had to. Now it's just sitting around collecting dust.
Oh.
Because I was trying to save the money of renting a router, and I might look into it to see if. I want to look at my bill to see if I can get rid of that, but I'd have to buy a new router that had a phone jack in it.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So I'd have to upgrade the router that I had. it would have been fine for the bandwidth that I upgrade. Well, and I upgraded my bandwidth for the same for the extra $10 too.
Well, it sounds
which,
like
again, man. That's another thing that's cuckoo bananas. I upgraded to 500 megs.
Oh wow!
Yeah, just the house is just large enough that it really helps bump things up.
Yeah,
I'm all for it.
I think we've got 100 at home, and it for the most part does pretty well. But if there's like a few people kind of streaming things at the same time, it gets a little wonky sometimes.
Well, and that's the other problem that we have because the jackass that owned this house took out all of the cable wiring in here. We had to go with the DirecTV because they're the only ones that have a Wi-Fi TV package.
Oh, okay.
And so our cable runs on Wi-Fi. So that was another reason to kind of upgrade between any streaming and video game playing on our phones more times than not. Again, still kind of a bizarre thing that I'm playing games with like people in Singapore.
on the little thing in your pocket there.
On the little thing in my pocket, which yeah. is kind of... Just because I said that to the wife the other day, I'm like, oh, there's some people joining my guild in Star Wars. They're from Singapore. And I'm like, huh? Like, why? That's a sentence that makes sense now.
Your guild in Star Wars. People from Singapore are joining it.
Yes.
If you would have went back, you know, to when we moved into Columbus here, Kevin, I'm not sure that would have made much sense at all.
No, it took like an hour to download a picture of Trish Stratus half naked. I would not have thought I would be playing highly developed graphic games on my telephone with people literally halfway around the world.
Yeah, so I can remember it would take 15 minutes to download a 3 megabyte MP3 file off of... I don't even know what we were using back then.
Are you going to just go to...
or something?
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if this was post-Napster.
Oh, Napster. You're right. That's probably what we were using that when we first moved out here.
Yeah, Kazaa came a little bit later.
Yeah. But, yeah, we were... It was like 15 minutes to download 1 3-megabyte MP3 file. And these days it's, you know, like... I don't know, 30 seconds to download a 60 megabyte app to my phone wirelessly. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when we didn't have Wi-Fi. That's right.
Oh, man.
Good
well,
times.
Now that we've old manned that enough, I think that weirdly enough, this is the first time I think we've only done a two-topic show.
This is a new record. Speaking of records.
A new record low number of topics.
Record low. That's what we're trying for.
Well, I would hope that we kept everyone entertained. Because, yeah, that ninja shit is still just kind of wild. Mm. And honestly, watching Masked Singer is kind of weird. The fact that I enjoy that is...
No, it is like a Japanese game show, except... You know, now it's normal, which is part of where I was going there to say that we are in strange times.
Well, Bell Time Beer for this show, I believe this is the last one that I have in the collection. Maybe I have a few more, but Jekyll Brewing out of Alpharetta, Georgia, Pineapple Habanero Hop Dang. Highly suggested. I picked up 6-pack of this. I think this is the last of the 6-pack. But I quite enjoy it. I believe that you reviewed it on one of the shows recently. It does have a nice pineapple sweetness. It has a nice little heat component with the habanero. And you still get a nice bite of hops in there.
Yeah.
So it delivers on what the cover says. And yeah. I say try it if you happen to get down in Georgia.
I also tried out a beverage of the beer variety. This was from Ohio, from Sibling Revelry Brewing. The Swing State. And it's a dry hopped pale ale, which was what I was in the mood for tonight. So that worked out pretty well. I found it to be refreshing. And it is kind of light tasting, which was what I was looking for.
Yeah, I was pretty happy earlier this evening. It's what caused one of our the wife has a former resident who is now a fellow at the hospital that she works at, and he keeps on having us join him for dinner so he can bitch. And we went to Wolf's Ridge this evening, and I had ale for ALS, and that was just a straight up pale ale. And there are just very few of those, and I think that they do have a nice... I really like pale ales a lot, just because you can get some hop character in there, but yeah. It can also be a little more refreshing than an IPA is.
Yeah.
I'm big for just the regular pale ales.
Yeah, I'm going to say pale ales are the new IPAs.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, people.
Good luck with working that one, Phillips. at Zach Gozer 33, I'm at Frank 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
And get off my lawn.